get into this 12th chapter. We left off at the 7th verse last week, and I believe we'll read the 3rd through the 15th verse, and then we'll start back with the 7th verse. So again, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. So encourages me in anything, just think of Jesus. He's your answer. Get a little weary, get a little overwhelmed, thinking of yourself too much. Lord, take my thoughts to you. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If ye endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chastens not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Now going back to that 7th verse, and I will read 7 and 8. If ye endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chastens not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. This is calling out to us to endure the trial. Truly endure the trial, and may we endure by believing and trusting and knowing that it is for our benefit. Knowing that it is for our benefit. It's very clear it's for our benefit, but this is where this whole book of Hebrew is about. It's about better, and the better is always going to be attained by grace through faith. That's why we just came through the wonderful 11th chapter, reading about the heroes of faith, our fathers that went before us, as it said, our brothers and sisters, that so epitomized faith in their life. I'd like you to turn with me to Proverbs chapter 4. That's Proverbs chapter 4. And we're going to read the verses 1 through 13. And I encourage you really to go back and, well, meditate upon everything that the Lord gives you. But this portion of Scripture a lot of times isn't read very often. And there's a lot of wonderful things to be learned and a lot of wonderful wisdom in the book of Proverbs. But I love this portion. Young people really listen to this as well, too, because I'm sure there's somebody in your life that has some wisdom that they might be able to share with you. Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. And I hope we understand that this word of God is the wisdom and understanding that needs to be so alive in our life. This is it. This is everything. People come into my office and ask, Brother Jess, what do you think of this? What do you see about this? Well, I can only point you to the same thing that I go to every day by the grace of God. I go to Him. I go boldly before the throne of grace. I need mercy. I need grace. I have a lot of things to help. I got a lot of need. And He keeps me right there. And that's where we go. We go before Him. And He talks to you, just like we've been visiting with the Word of God so much. This is His Word. Let it speak to you. Let these words become alive in your life. And that's yielding to the Holy Spirit. That's when that happens. That's when Christ truly has the things of His that are made ours by the Holy Spirit. Again, that's John 16. And that's when the Word becomes alive and real and just so overflowing in our life. But get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not. This is wisdom and understanding, referring to her. She shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. You know how the Word of God will promote you in your life? I pray that you have a little bit of vision of that. This is the thing that builds faith. Every promise that God has given to you is going to come by faith. It's there. It's been completed. It's been finished. But you have to believe it. We can hear about things. I was thinking about the trip, you know, brothers and sisters are going to take. I don't know if they've been down there before. I've been to some of those places. But you've heard about it, and that's great. But now you actually get to go see it, enter into it, and believe it. And that's how the Word of God is. And that's how it has to be. You have to possess it by the grace of God for yourself, for your own, to where it becomes your life. Not just something you hear about in church, but something you carry with you every day. I mean, and I believe most of you know what I'm talking about. It's a constant communication with Christ. That's the joy of the Lord that's your strength. That's how you bring Him through and into everything. Like we're kidding around, but it's really not joking. I always hear about people, oh, the Lord was so dear to me, He gave me that parking spot today. Well, if He didn't give you that parking spot, was He so dear to you? If He gave you the one over there that, you know, was a half a mile away. Huh? But that's how the Lord is. And you're speaking with Him all the time. Say, Lord, I know it's for a reason. I don't like to be a little bit under the weather, in a sense, not feeling as up as I usually am. But I know it's for my good. I know there's something He wants to work in me. And I say, Lord, thank You for it. Okay, so let's go on. But I have taught thee in the way of wisdom, the 11th verse. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her. For she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. I just so appreciate this. And what the Lord is calling out to us in our lives, and it's so true, is obedience. He wants you to be obedient. And when we're obedient to Him, that's when He can so bless our life. He loves you. If you have taken Christ as your Savior, you are a son of God. You will always be a son of God. What a promise. But this is talking about something more. We must submit to be dealt with as sons. If you think about it, even in the natural, there are children that are so disobedient. Maybe you've been one of them. I hope you haven't. And if you're one of them, I hope you're not. But there are children that are so disobedient, so removed from the home, that they truly are not dealt with as sons anymore. They're almost not dealt with as children because there's no communication. There's no fellowship with mom and dad. I knew kids like that. I must be in fellowship even with my natural dad and mom to be dealt with as a son. And that's how it is with God, and it's with us and His blessing. When I am yielded to Him, when I am yielded, I live blessing. I do. Now, when I'm not yielded to Him, I'm still a son, but it's the communication. See, I loved being at home. I really did. And I hope my kids grow up the same way. I know that there's children, and I'll speak to some here tonight, that think that, you know, they're ready to get out of the house. They're ready to run and be their own and do all of these things. But, you know, I'm so thankful that I wanted to stay in my home. I knew, first of all, that I was so loved. I always knew that I'd have clean clothes. I always know that I'd be well fed. And I didn't have to share a bathroom with anyone. See, those are good things, you know. And that's how it is with God. It's just all good, isn't it? Because He gives you and He blesses you. And it's so sweet. I want a fellowship with God. I want relationship with my Father. I want to submit to Him. That's why I do this. I'm telling you, there's no other reason. There isn't. And there shouldn't be any other reason. It's because I love Him. And I want to communicate with my Father in that type of way that I submit to Him and yield to Him as His Son. And I encourage you, young people, it says to honor thy father and thy mother. You're natural. And it didn't say if they were always right. It didn't say if they were always nice. It didn't say a lot of things. But it did say to honor them as unto the Lord. Now, I believe that most young people here this evening have moms and dads at least that point them to the Lord. They're not interfering with God in their life, and that's a wonderful thing. Now, honor them. Love them. I want to please. I always wanted to please my mom and dad. I really did. Not talking about anything. But because I knew how they loved me. And I'm talking to parents, too. You want to get the best out of your kids, love them. It tells daddies not to provoke their children to wrath. I think that goes for mamas, too. We can push buttons sometimes that provoke to wrath. I want to provoke my children to love. But we're going to read a couple more verses, kids, just like it was in my verse, too. If I spare that rod, we're going to spoil that child as well, too. There's a correction going on. And there's a correction that's going on in our lives as well, too. I'm not always right. I'm not. I know He is. And I'm going to follow that path by the grace of God. I want to have that relationship with my wonderful Father through His Son that I can be all pleasing to Him. And by faith, He's going to grow me up into that pleasing vessel, into that maturity that He wants me to be so someday I can marry His Son. That's what it's about. And I believe it. And I believe it soon. I hear about all these things going on. I see the activity going on in France. It just thrills me. How just in a moment, it could break loose in just a moment. You can see how fragile it all is. You know, our economy, our world and nations. Our president ratings are 80% at one time and 20% the next day. See, they don't know. It's all primed for a man to come about, isn't it? It's ready. The one that's going to unite them all, join all the hands, say, I've got a plan. And they're going to wonder after Him. There's even going to be Christians wondering after Him. You understand that? There are. Because they don't know. They don't know. Know Him. And that's what we're after, is to know Him. Thank You, Jesus, that we know You. Praise God. But when I am yielded, I live promise. And opposed to what the prosper and be in health poison that's going on in many pulpits today, oftentimes in the center of God's will, we are going to be tried. And it may appear that all hope is gone, but He promised that that's when His strength will be all over us. And that is often when the deepest cuts are being made in our life to get us in every way, shape and form conformable unto His death, to be pleasing to Him. Hallelujah. That's what He's about. See, parents who don't correct, they don't love. That's what we've got today. I hope you understand that. It really is. I've seen many young people. I've coached kids now for over 20 years. And I see the difference. They don't even call me Mr. anymore. Nope. By my first name. I don't care for that. They're left respect. They've left a lot of things. I'm only 40. I'm not too old. But I guess some people said I was born old in a lot of ways. But I think I'm pretty young, matter of fact. But I know that there's a better way. And it says to honor and respect. There's elders that are amongst us. There's princes and kings that are amongst us. Honor them. Know who we're about. Know who is we're representing by the grace of God. But that's got why God will always correct us and chasten us, is to get His result if we'll let that happen. Let's read verses 9 and 10. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. And I read that 10th verse, I kind of smiled as the Lord let me read that. I hope that when I correct my children, I really do believe it's for them. But it makes my house a lot easier as well, too. But you see, when He's correcting it, it's for our profit, isn't it? It's because He so loves us. And see, we just, a lot of times we think, well, God, why are You doing this to me? Why do You have me going through this? I don't need this right now. It's for Your benefit. We're being exercised. There's a dress that He wants us to fit, and it's one size, and it's perfect, and it's for us. Hallelujah. And we can fit it. Praise God. Let's turn over. I want to read a few verses here. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24. He that spareth his rod hates his son, but he that loveth him chastens him betimes or often. Turn over to chapter 19, verse 18. Chasten thy son while there is hope. I think that's telling you there comes a time when the hope's all gone almost, huh? Now, we never lose hope with Christ. And if you haven't raised your children correct, and if they're grown, He's still able. Remember that. But you know, we talked about on Sunday there, about old David. There are still consequences of sin, isn't there? And whatsoever is not of faith is sin. If I don't apply the Word of God into my life, into my family, and everything I do by the grace of God, I sin. Do you understand that? I hope you do. When you don't correct your child, you're not obeying the Word of God. All right? We're going to talk a little bit more about that. I don't want you to think I have perfect kids, because I don't. We're still in the process. I believe they're tender towards the things of God. I'm thankful. I'm thankful of a godly mother that they have. But by the grace of God, we need to do it young. You need to do it while there is hope. And let thy soul spare for his crying. Okay? Now again, look where the world's going with this. They're having a problem. You know, and I don't want you to think me non-compassionate, but I believe the Lord gives me these thoughts and different things that I see. There's murderers out there that it's almost like they're trying to just let go. Let them retry them and retry them. And my heart goes out to that dear lady that drowned those kids, but now they're looking to try to let her out. Come on now. It is what it is. See how the world has got us going different ways with things. You get Jesus Christ, you're compassionate. You want everybody to know Him. You want people to live love. And people are going to fail and they're going to make mistakes. But this is where we get the crying child and the fearful child. And how are we going to correct them? We're going to give them timeouts. We're going to reason with them. I got a puppy. And I think my kids are a lot like my puppy. I'm going to tell you. I can't reason with that puppy. I kid people. I've taught the dog to bite my sock. And he takes my sock and bites my sock. And I was teasing the other day. I said, look, I've taught her to pee on the rug. Isn't that something? Okay. Now, it's the same difference in a lot of ways. The Bible gives you instructions on how to do it, and by the grace of God, we'll touch on some more. This isn't a family-rearing class here, but I hope that the Lord is encouraging you in many things in your life. And the most important thing, again, is ask the Lord to allow Him to apply these Scriptures in your life, to live the Word of God. This needs to work effectually in us to have the life that He wants us to have. 22:15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Now, wait a second. I thought that the children have the answers and believe the kids. And isn't that the slogan that happens now? I'm just trying to tell you, where's the world going compared to what the Word of God says? But the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. 29:15-17. Let's go over there. The rod and reproof give wisdom. A child left to himself brings his mother to shame. And I think about how many kids today are just left in front of a TV, a computer. But a child left to himself brings his mother shame. 17. Correct thy son. He shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. That's the kind of children I want. More importantly, that's the kind of child I want to be. You want correction? You do. I do. I want to be chastened by the Lord. I want to be His finished, perfect work. All right? That's what we're after. Not here to play. It's a joyous run. It's so sweet. It's amazing, the thrill. And as I still say once in a while, and I know Brother Hawkins probably still shaking his head, I said, "Oh, Brother Hawkins, I'm having such fun in the Lord." He said, I'm sure he thought, "Well, son, just be at it a little bit longer," as he'd say. "But I'm having fun in the Lord, and I pray that I always have fun in the Lord." The Lord is fun. He's beyond fun. He's exciting. He's wonderful. He's tremendous. I'm just so thrilled how the things that He's shown me. And it's with my wife. I think the day that I wouldn't have fun with my wife would be a sad day. I have fun with her. Why wouldn't I have fun with my Lord? It's serious, but it's joyous. And it never ends. And there's times that are trying. There's times that are sad. There's times that are somewhat scary in different ways. But He's always with me. And by the grace of God, it's always joy. But it's correction over and over. In the natural, we need to correct our children in love. Correct our children in love. God always corrects His children in love. Okay? Never in anger. See, that's the problem with people. And again, it's man. And that's where the flesh will sin and all of that. We're not getting to beat our children or anything of that nature, to hurt your child. Never do that by the grace of God. It's correction. And there's a way to do it. And it's godly. And He'll obviously give you that love and how to correct under His hand. And it's a sweet thing. Again, think of Him. And you know what? When we do that, they give us pleasing fruit. They become joy and honor and praise to us. In the 31st chapter of Proverbs, it says that they even wake up and call us blessed. I love to see my little boys when they look at their mommy in love. I really do. I like when they love up on me, but sometimes when you can observe the love towards someone else in them, doesn't that just thrill your heart? You know what I'm saying? They get there and they just, you know, I appreciated Evan, my youngest. He had an owie, and Daddy was alone with him, and I was ready to fix the owie. And this is so many years back, and actually did it again even recently. I got to think of that, too. I was going to clip something off of, had like a hangnail or something. "Daddy, I know you love me, but this needs Mommy's touch." "You're kind of rough." He said, "Now, no offense, Dad, I love you, but this needs Mommy's touch." And I always remember him saying that, and I appreciate that little fella. Daddy might be a bit rough. But see, we need that tough love sometimes, don't we? Amen. All right. Now, so how much more in the spiritual is our benefit, hallelujah, when He does correct us? And again, it is now the benefits that we get from being corrected, because it's not just life, it's abundant life. It's for our profit. It's for our gain. The reward by the grace of God, it even says, is from glory to glory, even into His same image. See, I want to be like Him. You've heard that expression, a chip off the old block, you know. I want to be in His image. I remember growing up, and I appreciated my dad so, and I did love him and very, very much. I believe I honored my daddy, and I respected him. And I saw my dad like very few people did. Not that I worshipped him or anything, but I knew that God gave him special to me. And he was a very honorable person. He was very honest. And I always appreciated somebody in business that would know him would say something to me that reminds me of your dad. That was one of the greatest compliments I could ever get. Now, when I remind people of Jesus, that's the greatest compliment I could ever have, huh? And that's His love. And that's when I'm obedient to Him. That's when I become the son that is in fellowship with Him. Uh-huh. That He calls a son, that He treats, He wants to treat us like sons, because He always will treat us like sons. But are we going to receive that sonship relationship? That's what this is about, is going on with Him. Hallelujah. Partakers of His great and unsearchable wealth, if we will endure the correction. Verse 11. Now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, so don't try to pretend. But it's grievous. Now, Paul, I'll tell you, he did right, and he said he was joining in them. So we're going to have to get somewhere going to get with Paul, huh? Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. I just so appreciate this verse. Trials don't often seem profitable. You always say sometimes, Lord, how could this be for my good? I believe we've all been there. Whether it's with us, whether it's with our job, whether it's with our kids, getting into things and all. I'll tell you, that's faith. That's the greatest faith, when he really has a step back and say, do I really believe that he's going to perfect that which concerns me? Do I really believe that God does all things right, that he is good, that he's the God of all comfort, that if he be for me, who can be against me? I mean, we're going to be tried in those times. We're going to be pressed out of measure, the Word of God tells us. We're going to be pressed such that we despair of our own life. I saw it in the home with my mom and dad. I saw it with them and their children. I think God, by His grace, uses the most precious things to us to try us. And often it's our kids. It's our spouse. Yeah. Brothers and sisters, even in the meeting. But He really hits there because He wants you. He wants all of you. It's like He said, are you leaving it all behind for me? Now, I met a man that so many months ago that said, well, I know, and he's a sweet man, and I know he loved the Lord. Well, I know the Lord has called me. He was going over to Asia or something like that to be a missionary or something. He had a wife and three kids, young kids. He's going to go for a year. I said, man, I know the Lord don't want you doing that. He says, well, what do you mean? And I said, well, the Word of God says something about being worse than an infidel. Well, I'm caring for them. I'm supporting them. I said, this isn't about money. It's about you. Money isn't going to get it done. House ain't going to get it done. I need to be there. You understand what I'm saying? I can be in a house, in my house, and I'm really not there. You know what I'm saying? I want to be there. I want my mind in it. I want my heart in it. Most of all, I want God in it. There's been times in my life where I don't think I was all there, you know. Not joking around. I'm saying, you know, not all there. I want my all on the altar laid. And when my all on the altar laid, I'm fulfilling the word of His promise in my life. Many things in this. I pray it's encouraging you. And it's the Word of God. It's in love. And then I hope this is provoking to such love in your life to convict you. And remember, He's not judging you, just to get you out of things, let you think of things. That's what the Lord's all about. He's fellowshipping with you. But instead of asking, is it for my good? At that moment, I'd like to ask for His grace and say, Lord, give me your mind. Huh? Yeah? Give me your mind. Let this mind be in you that's also in Christ Jesus. That's victory. Hallelujah. See, don't try to reason it in your mind. I could never make sense out of most of my life anyways. His ways are past finding out. I know that His ways aren't man's ways. And you've heard me say it many times before. It's one of the greatest things that the Lord keeps trying to get me over is my mind. I'm always going to think it through. I'm going to get on top. Got a problem, I'll get out of it. Got somebody challenge me, I'm going to be on top of you. That's not how God is. You let go. All right? But it's in faith. All right? And then He directs you too. See, sometimes we can just think that we're letting go and we're just passive because we're giving up. You don't give up. You let God. That's different. You understand the difference there? Jesus just wasn't some passive noodle. He wasn't. He was very vibrant. He was very strong in the power of the Lord. God gave Him that power. Hallelujah. And He stood. But He stood for the things of God and the will of God. And there will be a time when God convicts you and causes you to go do something in a sense. But you're always standing. Do you see what I'm saying? The Lord will guide your steps aright that way. And again, that's in faith. And only that kind of relationship and fellowship as His son. See, I knew my dad so well. I really believed I knew what he wanted me to do. I could see a certain look. Okay, I need to go jump rope because sitting on the couch ain't going to get it done right. You know, I better go out and, you know, it was more only about sports with dad. He liked music, but he was tone deaf. He liked music because his son did it, really. It's kind of the way it was. But he always supported the things that were profitable, and I appreciated that in my life. But that's how it is with God. I think by His grace, as you get to know Him and you know His son, you get to know what He wants you to do in your life, don't you? And it's almost like when you get out of the will of God, you're really making that decision intentionally to go the other way. I believe it. I believe it's very clear. I believe by the grace of God, when I'm going the wrong way, I really deliberately made that step to get out of there. Because He's all over us here. We've got the Word here. We've got the fellowship. You got Him all over your life by the grace of God. Oh, hallelujah, that we can enter into this kind of fellowship. But it's believing like a child. And you enter into that by faith. But believing like a child, I can grow up into Him into all things. I can even be agreeable, as it says here in the 11th verse, to be exercised thereby. And a couple of the brothers, and I appreciate Brother Vern so much, and many other brothers and sisters, Sister Marianne as well, too, comes to mind, and Sister Leona, just so many. I could go on and on. That truly you see them allowing the Lord to exercise in their life. Amen. That's a testimony. I'm telling you, it thrills me. So thank you. And I thank the faithfulness of God in each one of those lives, in each one of your lives here tonight. But I love that word exercise because it's beneficial. Yet often I don't want it because it's much easier to sit on the couch, isn't it? I get in trouble with my wife. I better stop. All right. But even bodily exercise takes time. I need to do it regularly for the benefits. But it hurts. I've always been a very physically fit person, always getting out there and doing stuff. But I've always said this. I don't like it. I really don't. I don't like the actual activity. Now, there's some people, like poor Brother Chris, and I'm still praying for him, that those endorphins have got the best of him. You know, he just likes to get out there and run like a gerbil on a wheel. But, you know, I always remember he says, you want to take a run with me? I thought we're going 2 or 3 miles. And he said, oh, we'll go like 10. And I'm just cutting it short today. And I looked at him, 10? What are you thinking, man? He said, that's a long drive. I'm only 2 miles from work, you know. I love him. He's so sweet. And but I'll tell you, I'm not big on that, you know, because it hurts. It really does. When you really, you know, the exercises that really don't hurt, you're probably better there drinking a soda and eating a burger or something. But it does. It hurts you. But you like the results, don't you? It really does. There's no other way to get those kind of benefits. I think on TV how they have all them, you know, you can get fit fast. Now they have the electrodes you put on and it flexes your muscles, you know. Brother John Ireland probably tell me all about those, so. But I think he's just shaking his head and saying, nope, you don't get out and do it. It ain't going to do, so. But you do it, and I do it, really, because I feel better, get stronger, look better, even sharpens your mind. But how much more by His grace that we may be spiritually fit? Yeah, spiritually fit. I think you heard me telling that lady on the news she wanted to come out here and do an article on the church. She said, well, we're thinking about doing churches that have gyms. We hear you have a great gym. I said, man, we have a great gym, but we're more into seeing people get spiritually fit than physically fit. She said, oh, that's great. I got to meet you. And I said, well, why don't you come to church? I haven't seen her yet. But we'll see. The Lord might be dealing with her. And actually, my brother, I guess, knows her husband. So who knows? But I want a true runner's body by the grace of God. I really was thinking about that. I do. I want to exude the life of a wonderful runner for Him. The fruit of righteousness with every stride. And it's that precious fruit of trial that gives me that kind of body. And I'm going to name a few of the precious fruit of trial just for us to think about. But one of them is the separation from the world. It's called sanctification, to be set apart, isn't it? Come out from among them and be ye separate. That's one of the wonderful precious fruit of trial. You know, I know many in this meeting that have been separated from family. Ridiculed. I've even heard it as much as, you're in that cult? Been there? Yeah, didn't you know that when you really fall in love with Jesus, you've been cultified? Huh? No. They say you've been brainwashed? I just appreciate Brother Hill said, no, I've been heartwashed. He's just, that Holy Spirit just got loose. Got loose with that paintbrush and spread that all over my heart, didn't he? Hallelujah. Precious fruit of trial, we become more dependent on God because weakness brings His strength. Yeah, you get weak, man. There's not much you can do. I'll give you a little something here. Been at this now, going into the 8th month. Isn't that something? See, you put up with me that long, you can't believe it. But the Lord so sweetly insulated, so sweetly had such a hedge around me. I believe for the first 6 months, I so appreciated Him doing it. And then the last month, oh boy. You know, and I told my mom this. I said, you know, but He was just so faithful, so much grace the way He did it. And one of the sisters said, and actually a couple of them said, oh, you mean He just took it down little by little and, you know, got used to it. I said, oh, no. That wouldn't have been grace, because then I would have thought that I could have handled it, huh? Taking a little bit down, a little bit down. Oh, I can handle this. I can handle that. And what happened was it completely went away. I was even teasing with one, maybe I should. I said, yep, I seen the bulls of Bashan running around the church. Officer Chris brought his gun. I got to stop. But, He, in my weakness, gives me strength. And that's the fruit of the trial. Another fruit of the trial. His promises become more real, don't they? And they have to become more real because it becomes more necessary when I'm tried. When I'm tried like that, if I really don't have a vision, I'm wondering where I'm at, huh? Yep. When it's strange, that fiery trial that the Word of God talks about, I better really have a vision of where I'm going with it. Because, Lord, this thing it ain't right to me. But see, it's another realm. It's a whole different realm. It's His mind that He gives you. And then you get into that spiritual realm with Him. And it's so precious that the fellowship that He gives you to really know where you're headed. You know what this thing's about. There's no question in your mind. People look at you and say, you've got to be crazy. And the only thing you could answer is say, yeah, I'm crazy for Jesus. Huh? Amen. And that's what it's about. Another precious fruit of the trial. His grace is multiplied unto us in that. Because we are very needy in the trial. We're more before the throne of grace. Hallelujah. Obtaining that mercy. The fellowship of His suffering is another precious fruit of the trial. Probably the most precious. Because it is the absolute necessity to win His best, is that fellowship of His suffering. we suffer with Him, we'll reign with Him. We're an heir of God and a joint heir, if so be that we suffer together with Christ Jesus. Let's read that 12th verse. And this is another product of it as well, too. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. I'm telling you, we become unselfish towards other saints when we're tried. Did you know that? We start looking at our brother and our sister in need. We start having compassion. I'm not getting into feeling your pain. I'm talking about real empathy because you're part of my body. I'm part of your body. We're part of this glorious body. That's why I was telling another one that the Lord has had me so encouraged to pray for the body of Christ. Really? Absolutely. Lift up my brothers and sisters everywhere. To pray that the Word of God would go forth in boldness. That the Lord would encourage them. I'm not talking about world revival. I'm talking about that they would know Him. Really know Him. Grow up into Him. That the Lord would encourage pastors to quit pacifying things and really get about the Word of God. They're hard to find. Once in a while when I find one on TV, it's really sweet. I say, praise God for that person. Oftentimes it's a sister too. So it's just a wonderful thing. But anymore, it's hard to find them. Most of it's raising money for this or that and telling you how mentally you're going to deal with this or that. Preach the Word. That's the only thing that's going to get it done. Hallelujah. But we look on our brother. We look on our sister. Chastisement, the correction, often has us dragging a little bit. Has us a little bit low. But by the grace of God, be an Aaron and lift up those feeble arms. See, sometimes, I appreciated Brother Ken Trujillo called and said how Peggy was a little bit low. And I thought how appropriate it was with this. You know, they were going to go on a vacation. And do remember them. They're sweet people and they love the Lord. And the Lord's dealing with all of us all the time. But Ken is maybe going to get another job, an opportunity where he could come to church more. That'd be sweet. I know the Lord will be faithful to that desire. But Peggy was going to go on a trip. They're going to California. And he said she just wasn't physically feeling well. But she went ahead on anyways. And then she met a man and started visiting about the things of God and really witnessing to him. And it was amazing how the transformation healed her. It was just so sweet. Isn't that how the Lord can do it? See, when we get our eyes off ourselves and we can, by the grace of God, in His love, not in my goodness, in His love, take your arms and lift them up. Help those feeble knees. That's when I get my mind off myself. I'm rejoicing with you. And I'm telling you, my life is better. I've become a healer. Isn't that wonderful? I really believe that God wants every one of us to be that kind of a healer. And that's a gift. It's the gift of His love. We all have the gift of His love if we'll just exercise it in our lives. And that's the healing. That's the most important healing. It isn't the healing that someone would lay hands on. And that's a wonderful thing. And we believe in it. And it's for today. That we could heal a body. But by the grace of God, I'd much rather heal a soul. Be used to do that. To help encourage that spirit to come out. To grow up. To be the thing that that person would yield to and let magnify in their life. And reckon that old man dead over there. That's the benefit. That's what God's after. His love. I'd like to touch on one last thing this evening. And that is, Lord willing, I think we'll stop. I don't want to cut that too short. We're going to talk about the straight path, Lord willing, next week. And if you have some time, you might. I appreciate Sister Michelle Coe, again, bringing this to mind in Ezekiel 1, verses 4 through 9. You'll read about some straight feet and straight paths and how this wonderful cherubim moved together. We read about that cherubim not too long ago, didn't we? If you forgot, that was the wonderful ones that were there in the Holy of Holies. They were looking on that mercy seat. They couldn't get their eyes off that blood, could they now? You think? I hope your eyes are never off that magnificent blood. That's the grace of God, and that's the wonderful, wonderful finished work was our precious Savior in that shedding of His blood. And
by His grace, I believe He's going to give us the faith to put us into that Holy of Holies with Him someday. Right there in the throne room. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Seated in the throne with Him. What a precious promise. Let's stand, and Mitch, would you dismiss us?